You're tuned to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along this morning. The next topic on the Book Club is going to be Atlantis, a new book from Mark Adams. Meet Me in Atlantis, My Obsessive Quest to Find the Sunken City, is available in bookstores now. Mark Adams is joining me on the phone from his home in New York. Mark, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
I was surprised right off the bat, as you were, I guess, as you were inspired to write this book, Meet Me in Atlantis, that the tale of Atlantis comes from Plato. I have to say, like Johnny Carson, I did not know that.
Well, that's what really pulled me into the story. You know, Atlantis that we know of is usually filed along with things like Bigfoot and UFOs and the Loch Ness Monster. So to find out that the only real source for the Atlantis story was perhaps Western civilization's greatest thinker was certainly enough to get me started on the quest to find out what was really going on there.
So did you go back and read Plato and his works to try to glean all the facts you could about Atlantis?
I did. I went back. There's two dialogues, the Timaeus and the Critias, in which Plato writes about Atlantis. And what's unusual about this story is that he gives all sorts of really detailed information. He gives numbers, he gives distances, he describes buildings, he mentions geographic locations from the ancient world. So, you're almost inevitably inspired to start wondering, A, was this a real place? And B, if it was real, where was it?
Now, you had a previous book, a critically acclaimed bestseller, Turn Right at Machu Picchu. What is your obsession, or not obsession, I guess, but your serious interest in these ancient civilizations, Mark?
You know, I think it all goes back to, watching TV shows like Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of.
Oh, yes.
That sort of idea that, between the totally ridiculous and, the dry and factual, there's this sort of gray area in between of the things that we don't yet know. And I just find that absolutely irresistible to go in there and start poking around and see, is there some truth in here?
So when you were writing Meet Me in Atlantis, so where did you decide to start? I know from the book that you did some extensive research and traveled about the globe, but really, where did you decide to start that quest?
Well, the thing about researching Atlantis is, as I found out rather quickly, not a lot of academics are eager to discuss it. It's sort of career kryptonite as far as they're concerned. So what I found myself doing was tracking down the man behind this very comprehensive online website called the Atlantipedia. And this was a fellow named Tony O'Connell, who lives in the most remote part of Ireland in the West. So I went to Tony's house, and I spent a week with him and sat down and talked about everything. And I should say Tony is a big Atlantis skeptic. He believes some parts of the story are true and some parts are not true. And after a week of sitting down together, we came up with four possible locations for me to go visit and to speak with the people behind the hypotheses that Atlantis had once located in these places.
Well, what are the top five likeliest locations for Atlantis?
Number one was an ancient city called Heliki, which seems to have been destroyed by an earthquake and a flood during Plato's lifetime around 373 BC. I think Heliki is going to be one of the great archaeological finds of all time when they finally do dig it out, but I don't think it was the source of the Atlantis story. What I ended up doing was visiting the other four, which was southern Spain, because Plato says that the city of Atlantis is just outside the Pillars of Hercules, generally regarded as the Straits of Gibraltar. Then there was Malta, the island, because Plato says that Atlantis was an island city civilization with many great temples. Malta has the oldest temples in the Mediterranean, about 1,000 years older than even the great pyramid at Giza, and was also destroyed by a watery cataclysm, we believe, around 2500 BC. The third was Santorini, island off of Greece, definitely suffered a volcanic explosion around 1600 BC. And Plato says that Atlantis was ring-shaped, and Santorini has this sort of distinctive ring bullseye shape. Also in 1967, a maritime city now known as Akrotiri was discovered there by archaeologists hiding under about 20 feet of ash, and that may have been the city that inspired Atlantis. And the final one was sort of a dark horse. There was a fellow named Michael Huebner in Germany, an IT specialist who had taken all of these many details that Plato put into the Atlantis story, plugged them into an algorithm, and, you know, the result was almost like the game Battleship, where all the red pegs showed up in one spot off the Atlantic coast of Morocco.
I'm speaking with Mark Adams. His book is Meet Me in Atlantis, My Obsessive Quest to Find the Sunken City. You can learn more about it at our website, wvxu.org. And each of these places seem to have some of the clues that Plato left behind in his work, but none of them add up. And I know that you note later in the book that, you know, maybe Plato's tale was something that had just a few true facts in it, enough true facts to make you believe that Atlantis could be real.
Well, the question is, how much truth and how much fiction is in there? And, you know, nobody can say absolutely, part because Plato was such an obscure and allegorical writer. And, you know, what I do in the book is try to separate the myth that is true and the myth that is made up. Because, you know, at this time, we're sort of at the point where oral history through myth and legend gives way to written history as invented by Herodotus not long before Plato's time. And in fact, you know, Plato argues about whether written history can you know, really convey the truth as well as, you know, stories and myths and such. So the question is, you know, how much truth can we actually get out of this Atlantis story?
What did you find to be most interesting in your search for Atlantis? I mean, we all have our preconceived notions or what we've heard and what we believe about the sunken city and whether it existed or not. But how did you approach it, Mark? I mean, what was your feeling about Atlantis when you started this project?
Well, you know, I approach it like I approach everything, which is as a reporter. You know, I've done a lot of journalism over the years. And, you know, what I had to do was break down everything we know about Atlantis into its component parts and then find people who know a lot more than I do to go talk to and help them, get them to try to help me to solve this riddle. It's a, you know, the reason why everybody loves the story of Atlantis is that it's essentially, you know, not just a great tale of a civilization that is, you know, buried by a watery cataclysm, but it's also history's great unsolved mystery. You know, Plato says in the story it's true. I think he says it 22 times, but nobody really believes that it was 100% true. Well, that's not true. There are a few people who believe it was 100% true, and they're probably not people you want to take a long car ride with. But, you know, there are so many elements that are possibly true, and to you know, have the pleasure of going through and tracking all of those down one by one is like it's like one of the great detective stories of all time.
A lot of math involved in Plato's account of Atlantis when he talks about the dimensions of the city, and I found both that and the time frame to be hard to reconcile, and that was something you found in your explorations as well, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the key things that Plato does is use all sorts of numbers in the Atlantis story, including the figure 9,000 years ago is when it happened. You know, that doesn't really jibe with archaeological history as far as we can tell. But what I discovered and what I learned more and more of as I went on is that, you know, Plato was deeply influenced by Pythagorean philosophers, and the Pythagoreans who he visited in southern Italy led him to believe that there may have been, you know, some sort of numerical code, you know, a binary code behind the universe that would explain everything. You know, the Pythagoreans with their obsession with numbers, which they believed had personalities and gave off vibrations and things, you know, were sort of simultaneously launching physics and numerology at the same time.
Right.
So when Plato comes back to Athens and founds the world's first university, the Academy, you know, it supposedly he had inscribed over the entrance, "None but geometers may enter here." So the idea that, you know, Plato was just throwing out numbers in the Atlantis story as GPS coordinates to be followed, you know, 2,400 years later just doesn't seem to hold up to me.
So when did the search for Atlantis begin? I mean, we have Plato's account there, but when did someone finally decide they wanted to find that ancient city?
You know, it was sort of an academic exercise, and I should say that the argument goes all the way back to Aristotle, Plato's prize pupil. Even he seemed to be a bit ambivalent about it.
Yes, indeed.
But, you know, only when in the latter half of the 19th century, when there's a German archaeologist named Heinrich Schliemann, who, against the advice of just about everybody, decides that Homer's story, the Iliad, is actually a factual story hidden inside of a myth, and uses the details that Homer gives to go to Turkey and find what is now generally regarded to be the original city of Troy, the location of the Trojan War. So after he does that, and then he goes to Greece as well and finds the city of Mycenae, people start to realize, you know, there's a lot to be found in these old stories, one of whom was this guy Ignatius Donnelly, a former Minnesota congressman who in 1882 publishes the first great work of what I call Atlantology, or The Search for Atlantis. And what Donnelly does is he sort of cherry-picks every single bit of ancient information he can find and, you know, brews it together into this weird mix of detail that is actually the reason why most people believe that Atlantis sunk to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, which Plato never says.
Meet Me in Atlantis, My Obsessive Quest to Find the Sunken City by Mark Adams. Learn more at WVXU.org. And despite all the people who have looked, and I was struck by the different personalities of the people you encounter in your quest, but why do you think people continue to look for Atlantis despite the fact that there are a number of people who are persuaded themselves they found it already?
Well, I think there's two reasons, one of which is, you know, Atlantis is whatever we want it to be. It's sort of a utopia onto which we project our own desires. I think that's why so many people want to believe that it's some sort of, you know, super sophisticated bubble city under the ocean where, you know, intelligent seahorses intermingle with Aquaman. The other thing is, you know, it is this wonderful puzzle, this wonderful mystery to be decoded. And, you know, if using the tools of anthropology and archaeology and mathematics and philosophy, I think we can come, you know, not all the way, but we can get pretty close to trying to understand what Plato was trying to say here.
And we talk about those kernels of truth in Plato's tale. And one fact you point out in the book, Meet Me in Atlantis, is the fact that Plato may be talking about real natural disasters that occurred. They talk about, you know, Atlantis may have not sunk beneath the ocean, but may have been wiped out in a tsunami. We've already touched on volcanic eruptions and the like, but really there is a look at some of the natural disasters that happened just before Plato or during his time that he accounts in these tales, so that brings some verisimilitude to it, too.
Absolutely, and we do have evidence that, you know, things like the Thera explosion around 1600 BC may have been an inspiration. There seemed to have been this incredible series of earthquakes and tsunamis and famines and things that occurred all around the Mediterranean between 1225 BC and 1175 BC. You know, Plato, he writes not just about Atlantis, but he writes about Athens. And the things that he says about Athens, including, you know, that there were earthquakes that plugged up the springs on the Acropolis, and that, you know, they lost language for a while. In the 20th century, you know, these things were shown to be true. So now we have to ask, well, you know, why is Plato telling true stories about Athens? Isn't the Atlantis part true as well?
And you also point out in your book about how rising sea levels have covered quite a bit. I know there when we talk about Alexandria in Egypt, most of it are the ancient Alexandria is underwater, under the Mediterranean waters right now. But there possibly could be some hidden cities still to be found out there.
Well, that was one of the fascinating things that I was able to do. I went up to the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute on Cape Cod, and I spoke to the people who found the Titanic and found the Bismarck, found Air France Flight 447. And, you know, these are the people who, if it's under the water, they can find it. They told me, you know, with our cameras now, if there's a cinder block under the water, we can see it from a mile away if conditions are right.
Wow.
And I asked them about Atlantis, and they're like, well, you know, we don't try to get into it too much. But one thing we can tell you is that we're fascinated by the idea that, you know, after the last ice age, when the seas began to rise, you know, there are probably dozens, if not hundreds, of cities around the Mediterranean. If you look at the places where a river hits the sea, where settlements would tend to be, you know, there may be all sorts of things to be found under the water in the Mediterranean.
Well, Mark, thank you for your time this morning, and thank you for the tales in your book.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
Mark Adams. His book is Meet Me in Atlantis, My Obsessive Quest to Find the Sunken City. It's part travelogue, part philosophical examination, and all hilarious about his look at people seeking to find that lost city. Meet Me in Atlantis, My Obsessive Quest to Find the Sunken City. Learn more at our website, wvxu.org. This is The Book Club at 91.7.
Hello, I'm Matt Bolton from Madeira. I'm reading Marvel Comics, The Untold Story. I forget the author. The book's great. It's a sort of a walk through the behind the scenes of all of the great iconic comics that I was reading when I was 11 or 12 years old, and here's the politics and the scheming behind how they came out. So yeah, it brings back a lot of memories. It's a great take on it.
Hello, I'm Kaylee from College Hill, and right now I'm reading Persuasion by Jane Austen. I really like this book. It's not the first time I've read it. I really feel like, as far as Jane Austen's works go, it's really underappreciated. It's a very subtle love story, and it always gets me every time.
Hello, I'm Amber from Pleasant Ridge. Currently, I am reading The Way of Kings by Brandon Sanderson. This book is an epic fantasy novel. It is about a country torn by war that has been going on for several years, and everyone's sort of starting to wonder why they're fighting the war, and they're kind of trying to figure out what the war is really about.
You're listening to the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU.